Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis. Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
Alright everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We are live as live can be. We're talking Extreme Rules because Extreme Rules comes to you tomorrow night, Saturday night, and I believe it's in Philadelphia. I have to say, it is still kind of weird getting used to the Saturday events. It feels like Sunday should still be the event for a pay-per-view or a premium live event, but in this case, hey, I'm good with it. Saturday is in some ways better, right? And it depends on obviously people's work schedules and things, but at least if you stay up late, most of us don't have to worry about working on Sundays. So, and in this case, actually it wouldn't even matter because Columbus Day is Monday for most of us that are off, but let's talk about Extreme Rules. We're going to do that. We're going to take calls. If you're interested in those that are listening, you can call in 319-527-6765. And we will take your calls and, I'll go through a little bit of the card, and then I'll take any calls that we have and get some feedback, because it's going to be an interesting night, I think, for Extreme Rules. I think there's going to be more surprises than people realize. It is technically a B pay-per-view, definitely is, but I think that there's going to be a potential surprise or two, a return or two, major, maybe one massive one, and I think we all know who that could be. But we will have to see, of course. And let's just jump right in. And I'm going to start with the SmackDown Women's Championship, Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey, in an Extreme Rules match. Thank the Lord this is the only one that's called an Extreme Rules match, and we don't have any other matches that are labeled this way. But you got to have an Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules. And I think that, honestly, these two are going to have a better match than some expect. Now, Liv Morgan is clearly outmatched in strength and, honestly, technique and really any other category compared to Ronda Rousey. From a physical standpoint, Liv isn't exactly imposing or threatening to Ronda Rousey. Now, that doesn't mean that Ronda is not going to have her moments where she looks like she's going to lose clean to Liv, or that, you know, Liv could look decent against Ronda Rousey. She did during their first encounter. But to me, this is built around continuing to make Liv a heel character without blatantly turning her heel, where she's the one that keeps lucking out in winning the championship and retaining it. So the way that she won it, obviously the cash-in, the way that she retained it was a referee mistake. Now, in this one, I think will be no different. I don't know what kind of creative schmoz finish they're going to come up with, but I don't see Liv outright beating Morgan, or I'm sorry, Liv outright beating Ronda, but I do believe Liv retains here. That's my official prediction. I think Liv Morgan retains the championship in some kind of lady luck scenario. That's my best guess as to what happens here, because the fans, and shame on them, don't want to boo Ronda Rousey. They did a little bit when she turned on Liv at the last premium live event, but I still suspect that people are going to be behind Rousey and booing Liv, and that I bet you anything that was not the design when they came up with this. When they came up with this dynamic, it's Liv the underdog, the one that never got a chance at the championship, and she's a feel-good story versus the badass Ronda Rousey. And I think what's going to happen is, and what has been happening is, people have realized that the creative have not done a good job of booking Liv as a credible, strong champion, and that she's been – has not yet gotten a definitive title defense that didn't involve some kind of hanky-panky. And the way that she won it, of course, she did it legally – but winning it in the way that she did is not exactly the most honorable way to do it. So what's the logical step here? Just continue with what the fans have been telling you, and I think Liv Morgan ends up beating Ronda in some kind of weird schmoz way, or somebody comes back, and maybe it's Charlotte that comes back and interferes, and we get a, you know, a Ronda Rousey loss that way. But that's what I expect. This one will not be the match of the night, and it is just no disrespect to those women, but it's just with everything else on the card, I highly doubt that both of these women will be able to have a match of the night, at least in my mind. Let's see here. Let's go with the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to take one more match here, and then I'll go to a phone call or two. I'm going to say Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a ladder match. And let's count the number of times that they're going to talk about this being history-making or the first time ever. I thought we were actually out of the first time ever stuff with the women. I thought that at this point they've pretty much done everything the men have done and then some. And apparently, nope, there's more to go. So maybe they'll have their first ever women's Punjabi prison match, right? We haven't done that yet. I mean, are we really going to keep going with that? Who knows? But this is the first women's ladder match for the championship at a pay-per-view. And Bayley and Bianca, I think, when you put this side-by-side with Liv Morgan and Ronda, it, to me, it's not a comparison. There's just almost no way that Bianca and Bayley don't have a better match. And this one, honestly, is a little bit more difficult to call. I've been waffling back and forth on who wins this because there is a strong case to be made for both women. A strong case. Bianca Belair has been, I think, got some decent momentum over the last several weeks. She has been better on the microphone. Fans have been behind her, pretty solidified. And Bayley, in her first encounter with Bianca, you know, typically the championship doesn't change hands on the first try. But I think in this case, you have a situation where Bianca doesn't have to get pinned or submit to lose the championship. And Bayley's group has been a nice addition to the WWE roster. And also the golden rule that as you go deeper into the year, the calendar year, more heel champions will appear because you usually build that to a WrestleMania blow-off where the babyface overcomes at WrestleMania. Now, that's not a tried-and-true, always-happen rule. Absolutely exceptions. And I'd say it's a good guide, but it's definitely not an always-have-to-happen type of thing. So given those factors, I think Bayley wins the championship here. I actually think Bayley's going to win it. And then she can come out and claim that they have all the gold, just as she said they would. Bianca then can go into chase mode. And chase mode as a babyface, I think, is more fun. So I think Bianca's going to go into chase mode. Bayley's going to maybe have her minions interfere, whatever the case may be. And Bayley wins. And I think that's what's going to happen. But they're probably going to duplicate the spot with the – Bianca Belair doing her finish to Bayley on the ladder. I think that's the KOD. I think she's going to hit the KOD on Bayley, and they're going to say flashbacks to Hell in a Cell or whenever it happened. And that's when you're going to see Dakota Kai and Io Sky come out, or maybe somebody new to the group come out and interfere on behalf of Bayley, because don't forget, there's no rules. So anyone can interfere legally. And I think that saves Bianca. It protects her, and she doesn't even have to get pinned or submit to lose this. So that's what I think is going to happen. So we have one retention with the SmackDown Women's Championship, and we have one Women's Championship change hands on the Raw side with Bianca Belair dropping it to Bayley. That's what I think is going to happen. So, all right, let's see here. I'm going to take a phone call, and then we'll get back to the rest of the card here. We got Riddle and Rollins to go. We've got Edge and Balor in an I Quit match, Karrion Kross and Drew. And then, of course, the Brawling Brutes versus Imperium in a Donnybrook match. So we'll take a call, and then we will go back to the predictions. So I'm going to go first to area code 443. What's going on?
Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Kyle?
Hey, so, yeah, the this is overall, I think Saturday's going to be a fun show overall. I think every single match that's been that damn now is going to be great. So, but sticking with these I'll stick with the ladder match here. I agree. The match is going to be great. What I think is what may end up happening probably is that I don't know if you saw it, but Becky Lynch has posted on Instagram and on Twitter that she just posted a picture of herself. She has no brace on. She looks like she's healthy again. So could there be a chance for her to come back after the match is over with and confront Bayley if she wins a championship? Could that happen? I don't know if you saw that picture with Becky Lynch or not, but I thought I was like, she has no brace on. She looks so fine. She looks okay. So could Becky come back tomorrow?
I think, yeah, that sounds – I don't think it's in the realm of impossibility. I think it's possible. The problem with that, I think, though, is that if she still has a brace on, I wouldn't want her to come back just to not be able to compete. I mean, if the brace is still there, that means she's still not able to fully do whatever she needs to do inside the ring. But also I know that they love to tease. And they love, like Bayley for how many months before her return, was doing things that would tease the crowd of being in the same city as the event, as the pay-per-view was going on and taking pictures. And she knew what she was doing, creating a stir with fans, and she never actually ended up returning. I think the answer to me is no, and I think the reason is because if she's not fully ready to go physically with a brace, then obviously we wouldn't want her back until she's totally ready. But also, why, if I was WWE and I was the talent, I wouldn't want to even tip off the fans that it's a possibility. I would just go dark on social media for a while, you know, so that element of surprise would be gone. You know, so that I would say no, I'd give it like a 10% chance, but I probably not. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I did too, but yeah, it was just that when I was like, well, she had the place. So, you know, so yeah, overall, I think Bayley should win because to make the faction more interesting, because so far I haven't been all that interested in Damage Control. I like the concept of it. I'm not that big of a Bayley fan. I've keep mentioning that before, but I do respect her as a heel. I think she's been more entertaining as a heel than a baby face. Her thing with Damage Control has been entertaining, but there has been something missing, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened with Bayley as a heel. She's been... I don't know what happened. Maybe it was because she had Sasha, and they bounced off from each other. But then ever since this whole thing, since she came back, hasn't been anything. So maybe when she becomes champion, maybe she'll be more interesting as a character because hasn't been working for me. And then So we'll see what happens there. And then also, and same goes with Bianca Belair as well. I feel the same way with her. I know. I really like Bianca, really do. I think she's a great wrestler. She's great in everything she's doing, but there's something missing with her too. So both women are missing something within their characters. I don't know what it is, but they're missing that one thing to, at least for me, to sink my teeth into of liking them or hating them for, or, you know, something's missing with them. Do you feel that way with both of them in general with this dispute that's going on?
Yeah, especially Bayley, and it's not a slight on her. It just feels like she hasn't clicked on all cylinders yet. It does feel like there's that one element missing, and maybe that one element is her and Bianca having an awesome match. I mean, maybe that's what brings back the emotion for me for the Bayley character, and you saw a little bit of it in their contract signing this week with Bayley talking about how she had to scratch and claw and all that stuff to get where she's at, and the death of the Bayley buddies and the side ponytails and reminding us who and what she is. But, yeah, it has felt that outside of a great match, which I think could really help fill that void, is the fact that they haven't had that, like, A-plus promo yet that got you into it and told the story from start to finish. Honestly, maybe even a great video package would help or a sit-down interview would help. But it does feel like something is missing. I agree.
Yeah, it's because we all know they're going to have a good match. It's just, I agree with you about saying that the story behind it can be what's the – story behind it, and it's not making me all that interested, so we'll see what happens there. But I don't know if you're going to get to any other matches or not, but I was going to go straight into I was going to go straight into Rollins and Riddle because that could be the main event, and this whole White Rabbit stuff, like I mentioned in my voicemail before, it ends up being Bray Wyatt. Like I said before, he needs to not be the Fiend because it's just not going to work out, and it would make sense if it is him, he'll show up during the main event, which probably be the Fight Pit. But I guess the question is, if he does come back, what is he going to plan on doing with him? That's just the million-dollar question that everyone trying wants to know, but because he can't be the Fiend anymore, like I said before. So, and that's, they think that will end up happening. If he comes back, it'll be in that main event with the Fight Pit, if that is the main event, which probably will be.
I would imagine that has to be the main event. I mean, I don't know how they can make the main event really anything else. I mean, I guess you could do the women's ladder match not Edge and Finn Balor. I wouldn't say that, or Drew, or the Brawling Brutes. So yeah, maybe by default.
I actually heard someone said that could be the first match, the Fight Pit match, and then the ladder match could be the main event. I heard someone else said that before me, or maybe I thought that. I don't know. But it's going to be – I just think something like this, after what happened on Monday with the back and forth that they had, I think it has to be the main event. I don't know if that's been after what they – especially after what happened on Monday. It was like they're super personal. I really am looking forward to that match. And I did – and this match happened before wasn't at NXT with Riddle and – Tony Thatcher, and I thought that was the first time I ever saw that match. I was like, what is this going to be about? Is this by a knockout? Is how the person wins? Like, so I just find that interesting, and like, it's going to be an interesting match. I think just the three rules in general, I just like that just every single match, there's some type of stipulation, because before, that never happened in years past. It's just been, because last year was just one. It was this one Extreme Rules match. Everything else was like a regular match. So I do like the fact that we have every single match some type of stipulation. Do you like that concept this year that he did for Extreme Rules?
I think it's better than years past. Yes. Yeah. No question about it. I like the concept. I like the fact that they brought something from NXT into the main roster. That's definitely a Triple H thing that never would have happened with Vince McMahon still in charge. I think that this matchup. As you talked about at the beginning with Bray Wyatt potentially interfering, I mean, there's a million people that he could actually come after. It really could be anybody. It could be on SmackDown. It could be on Raw. It could be in another month. It could be not till, Rumble. Who knows? But if he's going to debut in this match, I mean, what's his beef with Riddle and or Rollins? I mean, there really isn't any. Plus, Rollins is going to have a U.S. title match on Raw the following night or two nights later. So with Riddle, I mean, I guess he could go after Riddle, but – at the same time, like,
that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, with Orton coming back sometime. Yeah, so, to me, this match is going to be brutal. I think it's going to be tough on both men's bodies. I wouldn't want to wake up on Sunday morning feeling whatever they're going to feel. It's going to be rough. It's going to be physical. I mean, the deal is they really don't like each other. That's what we're hearing, right? They actually don't like each other in real life. But it makes it that much more interesting. So, yeah, this is going to be a great match. Does Bray Wyatt debut return during this? I doubt it. I think he's going to be in a much bigger spot on probably maybe the Saudi show that nobody wants to watch. That's probably what's going to have to happen. Or, he could also attack Roman Reigns. If you remember what the whole deal with Roman Reigns is, he's the one that took the belt off of Bray Wyatt in 2020 during the SummerSlam match. So that's the last time he held the belt.
I got that out of my brain, too. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And he could show up by Saudi Arabia because they decided to do that match there, not Extreme Rules, which still blows my mind. And I don't know why the Punk's Eternal match or whatever. I think that's going to be cool. I think overall, I think the match I'm kind of thinking is going to be maybe the weakest match in my brain is this strap match between Cross and McIntyre, and the only reason why I say that is because it's a strap match, and I'm had this been some type of other I just kind of wish this was a false go anywhere match, honestly, because it would probably be probably a better match. What do you think about this strap match and how they think they're going to use it? Is it going to be a good match because of it? I just think it's going to what do you think how that match is going to be? Do you think it should have been a different stipulation, like a false go anywhere type of match with these two?
Yeah, the strap match is interesting. I'm not a fan of the strap match stipulation because all it's going to be is them, like, whipping each other back and forth, and the camera's zooming in on the welts on both men's bodies, so I don't envy that for them. I'm not a big fan of the strap match. I don't like Texas bull rope matches. I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. Just it's not my style. Not to say they're not good, and maybe they'll surprise me here, but you know exactly what it's going to be used for. They're going to smack each other. The fans are going to go, you know, like, you know, every smack you're going to hear, woo, right? Like, it's going to be one of those just hard to watch at times match. Not that it's bad, but the welts that are going to be on both of those men's bodies, and maybe they'll use it to choke each other. And you kind of know what you're going to get in this matchup. You know, and honestly, I think either man could win. It almost is a toss up for me because both men kind of need the victory. So, I don't know. The fight,
I kind of think it may end up being Karrion Kross. Oh, I think only because he kind of just going to SmackDown. This is his first pay-per-view match in the main roster. So, in that respect, I would think it has to be Karrion Kross. I think they think that if Drew McIntyre gets beat, he's bulletproof. He doesn't really need a win, even though he does. But it's like comparing the two situations. You have Karrion Kross as it have. This is his first, like, major program since he came back to WWE, and Drew McIntyre is kind of like a main man. He doesn't need to win, but he needs to win. So it's kind of like confusing. It's a bizarre time for McIntyre to be in this situation. We're already coming off a loss at Clash at the Castle, but I just think in my brain that Kross is going to win because it just makes a little bit more sense because he just Kane, this is his first pay-per-view match in the main roster, so that's my only thing. That's why I'm leaning towards Kross, I think, because of that.
I hear you. And overall, I think it's going to be a good pay-per-view. I mean, I really do. I think it's going to be a better pay-per-view than some people give it credit for because it's a B pay-per-view. It's not one of their beloved ones, right? Like, I mean, we have those coming with Survivor Series, which to me is the next big destination where we all take time off during the Saudi show that is really just the Prince giving as many zeros to WWE as he wants to just make a card however he wants. And it's just it's an inconsequential, unfun show to watch, you know, for the most part, with the Saudi show that's coming up next. But all right, Kyle, well, thanks so much for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. The last thing to add is Survivor Series is War Games, and that's usually fun. So that could be – Survivor Series could be better because it's going to be War Games. But thanks for our call.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah, the War Games thing is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Triple H is bringing in NXT concepts that really weren't just originated in NXT, but were adopted by it, and then bringing it into the main roster. And I think that's a smart thing to do. It doesn't need to be totally different from the rest of the roster. So I think this is going to be a good pay-per-view. I mean, that's all I have to say about it. I really think that the talent are going to deliver. Everything is got its own kind of unique stipulation, and that's going to keep it fresh along with the rumored returns that are out there. Becky Lynch is probably unlikely for me. More likely is the Fiend is a little more likely for me. And there's some others out there that are being talked about, but all right, cool. I'll go through a couple more matches, and then I know we got another call on the line. So area code, 615, hang on. We're just going to get through another match or two, and then we'll give you some airtime here. So speaking of the Riddle-Rollins match, who wins this? This is tough. A lot of these picks are tough. I'm going to say that the person that wins this is probably Riddle, but I think Seth needs it more. And the reason is that Seth constantly loses big matches on big stages. So I'm reluctantly saying Riddle because I think they look at it as Seth is a made man. They need to continue to build young talent and have young talent have a platform to continue to showcase themselves in front of a large audience and get those large, you know, mile marker victories. But I think Seth also needs it. Seth needs big victories in such a big way. He loses so many big matches. But I think Riddle probably takes this match. Now, is that going to be a big deal for Seth because he's probably going to win the U.S. title two nights later on Raw? No, we'll move on. You know, and I think that's what's going to happen. Riddle wins. Seth Rollins then wins the U.S. title 2 nights later. So probably what happens. But this match is going to be brutal. It's going to be fun. There's going to be stuff off the top of that structure, and it's going to be uncomfortable to watch. And I think that Riddle beats Seth by knockout. That's my call. All right, let's talk one more match here with Edge and Finn Balor in the I Quit match. Now, I've alluded to this on my other shows, and I stick by it, that the I Quit match is a match designed for the babyface to win, because babyfaces to say I quit is cowardly in the eyes of fans watching. It's another level of shame than just being pinned or submitted. And if you have a babyface you want to keep as a babyface, you don't want to have that person say, I quit. It's a different level of humiliation. So in this case, you would imagine that Edge wins, right? You think I'm going to say Edge wins? No, I think Finn Balor wins. And the reason I say I think he wins is that the Judgment Day are going to be involved in some way forcing Edge to say, I quit. Or they beat him so bad that he's knocked out and he can't respond to the count. I don't even know if that is a possible finish. Maybe there's just a no decision. I mean, I don't know if fans would revolt against that, but maybe Edge is just so brutalized that he can't respond to the microphone and the ref has no choice but to call the match. But either way, I think Finn Balor wins this. And it's going to be a good match. I'm sure that Edge has been waiting to get a one-on-one match with Finn for quite a while, since he really came back from retirement. I'm sure Finn Balor was the name on his list that he wanted to work with. So I expect full effort from both men. I expect some really, really good, like tough to watch spots. I mean, that's honestly going to be the kind of slogan of the pay-per-view, is it's going to be tough to watch in the way that brutality is tough to watch, not that the matches are going to be bad. So I think Edge will get a couple of spears. Obviously getting a spear is not going to get you the victory, because you have to have him say, I quit. So yeah, this is going to be good. I'm sure the Judgment Day are going to be floating around, as well as AJ Styles is floating around, as well as Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio. It's the usual suspects that are going to be involved in this. And I think that we're going to get a eventual Edge loss by having the Judgment Day is going to force him to say, I quit. Or they're going to, like, kill Rey Mysterio in front of him or something. They're going to blackmail him into saying, I quit. That's what I think is going to happen. All right. Let's take a call here. And then after the call, we'll go through Karrion Kross and Drew, and then the Brawling Brutes versus Imperium. So let's get to that area code 615. What's going on, 615?
How you doing, Matt?
There he is.
It's the Kevin Riffin fan here.
Hey. So what do you think about Extreme Rules coming up?
Man, I'm ready. I'm ready. I think I'm going to go ahead and call out Baltimore Kyle. You guys really don't like Bianca. Man, we got to do something about this. let me give you a spoiler. For everybody listening, here's a spoiler. Bianca's going to win. You know, outside of just being a fan and looking at wrestling, it kind of sucks for her on a personal level to keep having come back from injury or having a baby and automatically getting a win on you. You know, that's not how you build stars. And she did this for Becky last year. Becky came back at SummerSlam, beat her, held the belt all the way to WrestleMania. You know, it's time for Bianca to have a nice run with the title. The first time she had, she got it at WrestleMania, and she lost it by SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this time she got it back at WrestleMania, and she just made it past SummerSlam, and now here comes Bayley. So I think, in my world, Bayley needs a job 2 times. She needs to put Bianca over 2 times, and then on the third try, you can give the belt to Bayley if that's what you want. But in my world, Bianca will be champion until WrestleMania. She deserves a long run. She's over with the fans. I don't know what other woman's a bigger babyface than her outside of Becky Lynch, who's injured. So, I mean, she's your top babyface, you know, and I think she has a very great gimmick. She connects with the fans on a different level right now. I know some fans ain't, you know, really feeling it, but, I mean, I think she has a great gimmick, you know, overall. And that's my view on that point. So that's your spoiler, mm-hmm. Bianca for the win.
Yeah, so I think that this one wasn't – it's not easy for me to pick that one. I mean, I'm only saying Bayley. The reasons against Bianca retaining is because Bayley just formed this group, and you usually want to give them success right away. And, yes, they have the women's tag team titles, but let's be honest, how much do those really mean right now? You could argue not a ton. But then Bayley, as the leader of that group, I'm sure they would like to be able to say that they now hold all the power. They hold all the gold. And that's always been a tempting strategy for WWE when a group holds all the gold. How many times have we seen that over the years, you know?
But we don't want to see the female version of the Bloodline. I mean, let's be honest. I like Bayley. I like the group, you know. Damage Control, they're great. But I'm not going to sacrifice Bianca for, you know, another group is trying to get over. You know, Bayley's supposed to be the lead of the group, but, you know, EO and Dakota are the ones doing most of the work, as it should be. You know, Bayley's supposed to be the final boss character, but that don't mean the final boss has to be jailed. But I see it both ways. I understand where you're coming from. I'm not trying to change your mind on the subject.
No. Yeah, no. But also, if you're going to have the belt off of Bianca and protect her at the same time, what's a better way to do it than a ladder match where there are no rules, anyone can interfere, you don't have to even be pinned or submitted to get the belt off of you? It's the most, I guess, least damaging way to take a belt off of a babyface if you're going to do it and keep her character intact with all the integrity and everything else that goes with it, you know?
But you got to have the rematch. Which, once again, you're going to be asking your up-and-coming star to lay down again for another veteran. I don't think – that's just my point. I feel like Bianca's at the point where she needs to get built. You know, she's in her second run as champion. You know, she's doing good. I mean, do you know of another woman baby face bigger than Bianca right now? Outside of Becky?
No. Outside of Becky, who's not active, yeah. And honestly, I expect the quality of the match to be awesome. Like, I mean, people aren't really talking about that, but – given that these two women are both powerhouse women, obviously Bianca, I think, more athletic and more powerful, but Bayley, in her own right, is athletic and strong and is a veteran in the ring. I expect this to be an awesome matchup, probably with a KOD spot on the ladder, as I said. They love to redo history. I really think they know that this is a big deal because it's the first ever women's ladder match for the title, and I think they're going to deliver. So the quality of the match, regardless of the outcome, is really going to be – it's a potential net match of the night candidate, I think.
So I agree with you on that point. Also, you talked about Seth and Riddle. Now, on our show yesterday, we picked Seth Rollins for the win. Right now, Vegas has Matt Riddle as the huge favorite, -1250.
Wow.
And I don't see it. I'm going to be honest. And the only reason why I say that, with Seth Rollins going against Bobby Lashley 2 nights later for the U.S. belt, he's got to look strong going in. You're not going to have him go in off a loss, especially in the fight pit. That's a hell of a loss to take, you know, in a pay-per-view before you go against the almighty. And so, Seth, you know, Riddle can put you out, but you can beat Bobby Lashley. You know, no. I think Seth gets the win here. You know, the smartest money. So, all you Vegas people, you go on there, and I put some money on Seth Rollins right now. Good odds on him. And I agree with you. Seth Rollins for the win.
I picked Riddle. I was going back and forth. I don't want Riddle to win. I actually want Seth to win. I just think that WWE is going to go with Riddle because he's the younger star. Seth is already a made man. Seth is, you know, a Teflon. He can take big losses. But my argument is Seth has had so many big losses that it actually is beginning to affect him. He's had so many big losses that it's actually starting to chip away at his credibility as a heel, and I don't like that. At the same time, Rollins winning and Riddle losing is, I think, to me, it's more logical that happens, even though they want a babyface to win here, I think, and it's kind of Matt Riddle's match. He's the one that wanted this match. But if Seth were to lose, I think they might sell it to Seth and sell it to the audience. Like, well, what better way to bounce back than have a championship match and win the U.S. title on Monday Night Raw 2 nights later? It'll all kind of be erased in the minds of fans. Seth to now hold the singles championship. And that bad feeling that you had of him losing to Riddle is now gone because he's a champion. So I think that's maybe how they're going to sell it. I want Seth to win, but I think they're going to go with Riddle. I that's what I want, or that's what I think they're going to do.
Well, smart money's on Riddle, but I'm going for Seth on this one, and I can see where you're coming from, but I feel like it's like the Undertaker buried alive match, or the Undertaker Hell in a Cell, or Undertaker casket. Most of the time, the person that's the creator or the master of the match lose the match. How many times have we seen Undertaker getting buried?
Every time. My God, yeah.
And that's his match. So I'm hoping on that logic that Riddle lays down, in which, no offense, I think Riddle should lay down. I mean, Riddle is pretty set, too. They have to move on for the feud. And I don't, you know, Seth is not going to let it go. So if, you know what I'm saying, by his own mentality, he would have to go back for Riddle again. But I can see it going either way, like you said. Now, you said Edge and Finn. I hit that one real quick, too. Spoiler for you, Finn Balor. You know, that's who I thought would win it. I think, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to get Beth and kidnap her or what pawn they're going to use to get it across. But I think it'll be Finn Balor right now. Finn Balor's the favorite in Vegas. On Wednesday, it was Pickle for Edge between both of them, minus 120. But now, Finn Balor's minus 220. And, you know, I can see Finn winning. He deserves to win. You know, Edge has beat the Judgment Day several times now. So it's time for Judgment Day to get a win.
But how do you think Finn does that? Because having Edge say, I quit, that's a different level than just being pinned because you were distracted or a low blow. You know, like saying I quit has to come internally, saying I can't take this anymore, I quit. It's a different level of humiliation. So how does Finn do that? The Judgment Day, you would imagine, have to be involved here.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Like I said, I don't know if Rhea might kidnap Beth, you know, Beth Phoenix, or, you know, it's got to be something to that level to get him to quit. Because if you grab Ray, that's not going to be enough for Edge to quit.
If
you grab his wife, Beth Phoenix, and I don't know if you kidnap her or how you get that spot going, he's going to say, I quit. But I do agree with you. You know, fans at home, saying I quit is very, in the wrestling world, it's very extreme. You know, you're going to get tarnished for that. Most of the time when the person says I quit, they leave for a while, a la carte, Charlotte Flair. You know, you got to leave for a minute, let fans forget about it. You know, even with the Mankind and The Rock, I mean, Mankind took 13 chair shots to the head before an audio over the loudspeaker had to say, I quit. You know, that's the extreme of it. So, you know, new fans, if you're watching, I quit matches, that's probably the most tarnishing match that a wrestler can have. And that's why normally the babyface goes over, because it's so tarnishing to your reputation.
It's not one of those it's unlike any other loss that you'll take in your career. While people say, and it's true in pro wrestling, wins and losses don't matter so much just on their own. It depends how it happens. But to say I quit, those matches, those defeats stick with the talent. They don't leave. Those are big decisions to make on who is going to actually utter those words. So I do believe, because I also don't want Finn to do this. I actually don't want Finn to say I quit either, because he's on a nice roll with the Judgment Day. If Edge is going to say it, that's exactly right. There has to be some kind of home invasion. Beth, like you said, is held hostage. His family's in danger. There has to be something really extreme, or Edge is just knocked unconscious, or maybe he's bloodied or something to the point where he's not even awake. He can't utter the words. So the referee just stops the match. Maybe that's another way, and Finn wins because Edge can't respond. He's not, you know, he's dead, right? So that's the only way I can think that Edge is going to lose this match. And I think he will, though. I think Finn is the right choice.
I totally agree. And last thing off topic, have you seen SmackDown tonight, or are you going to watch it on Hulu?
I have not. No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask you about the Sheamus spot. Well, in the match, Sheamus, I'm not going to tell you the winner, obviously. But in the match, Sheamus had Gunther in the four-leaf clover, or the clover leaf, you know, his little Boston crab when he got your legs twisted. Anyway, as Gunther was reaching for the ropes, he tapped the mat twice. And the crowd got outraged because the ref didn't call it. which he said he just tapped two times, so it don't count. A very interesting spot.
Huh. Okay, so I didn't. Are there a certain number of taps you have to tap that indicates that you submit? I didn't know this rule.
I didn't either, but that does make a valid point. He made two very quick successive taps, but he didn't make a third. He reached for the rope.
I will have to check that out. Okay.
Yeah, and the crowd was booing. They was obviously livid because they said he tapped, and she said it was just two.
I've never I've seen a lot of submissions, and I've seen ones that aren't necessarily three taps. It's just like they just do like I've seen it like one or two, and I don't. I mean, whatever. I'll roll with the logic, but that to me is an interesting rule that has never ever been addressed ever like outright as a reason for it. Now, did the referee get on the mic and say it? How do you know? Did you just hear it through? Okay.
As the crowd was booing, you could just see her like motion like two. She put two fingers in the air and was saying no, like waving it off like no, it was just two.
Okay.
Very, I don't know if that was a planned spot or if Gunther was just reaching for the ropes and about lost his balance. I don't know, but that was a very interesting spot. It made Sheamus look good, which I guess was the point if that was a planned spot. But, yeah, check it out tonight. I don't want to spoil it for you. It was a great match. And kudos for Triple H for putting it on SmackDown. That was a great venue for it so you don't expect it to live up to the hype. It's got commercials. So, you know, it was a great way for them to showcase. And they had an excellent match. Great main event.
Was it as good as their first?
As I said, kudos to them for putting it on SmackDown because – I'm not going to say you forgot about it, but by it being on SmackDown, you started comparing it to SmackDown main events.
Okay.
And so it was a really good SmackDown main event. So no, it was pay-per-view quality. I'm not going to take away from it, but no, it's obviously it ain't going to be as good as the first time, but it was a really good, brutal match. You know, they did all of the chop spots and all of the beat to the Baron spots, and it was a really good match. It was a wacky ending.
Okay, but I mean they are just magic together. They work so there's I didn't think I wanted that match. Like I could watch them fight forever. I mean I know the chant is fight forever, but I really could. They are just something about their styles. It's like he's the older version of Gunther, but Gunther's kind of this. I don't know. I love what they bring to the table. So I'm gonna have to check that out. That may be the first thing I watch on SmackDown tomorrow. But cool. Anything else, or are you pretty much done with the Extreme Rules for
buddy.
Now.
I'm going to let you go ahead and finish out your show. Shout out to everybody out there. Have a good night.
Thanks, buddy. Talk soon. All right. Well, that's Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan. If you guys haven't checked it out, he and his missus did a mailbag this week for Extreme Rules and gave his full predictions and everything, and I'd really recommend you check it out for the our mailbag show, episode 101, that I just released yesterday. I'm losing track. I'm really sad. I have so many episodes, like I don't want to release too many. I've actually got some in the shoot from like Anthony DeMarco and stuff, guys. I don't want to overload you on the Extreme Rules a weekend, so I'm probably going to bank those and release them next week after the event. But so anyway, guys, let's continue on with this. And I didn't give my full prediction yet for the I Quit match, or I did. I said Finn's going to win, and it's going to be by hook or crook because he's forcing Edge to say I quit because he's threatening his family or something like that. Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre, I haven't really talked about this that much other than with Kyle from Baltimore. I think this one isn't easy. I think it's probably Karrion Kross who wins this too. I think Karrion Kross needs the victory more. He's just established on the main roster. To have him lose here would be a setback for him, I think. And I also believe that Drew McIntyre is more than fine if he loses this. It's not like Seth Rollins where he loses big match after big match after big match. I think Drew right now is in the minds of fans and a number one contender for the Undisputed Championship really at any time. And this won't hurt him a bit to lose to Karrion Kross. I think this would help Karrion Kross more than it would help Drew to win. I expect this to also be like welts all over each other's backs and torsos and uncomfortable spots and using the strap to choke each other and tie each other up and all that stuff. right? It's going to be another brutal match. And I expect Drew to hit the Claymore, but ultimately Scarlett's going to be the wild card here. Maybe, you know, summoning the powers of Kane to throw a fireball at Drew or something like that. And Drew ends up losing this. So, yeah, I think that Karrion Kross gets the victory, and he should. So, all right. Brawling Brutes versus Imperium in a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. This, to me, it would really depend on what I saw on SmackDown. Given what Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan said, I would imagine that we had Gunther. I really didn't mean to do that. Gunther, or as some of you pronounce it differently, I won't. He is probably going to be the one to win that match on SmackDown, given the information I heard from Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan. And if that's the case, I'm going to say maybe the Brawling Brutes. I don't know. This is tough. I haven't seen SmackDown, so I'm making assumptions. Who do I want to win? Imperium. Okay, let me go with who I want, because that's who should do it. Imperium. Imperium's going to win this match. They should win this match. I love the stable. I love the seriousness of all of them. They're not joking around. They are like the complete bipolar opposite of the New Day. They are serious, down to business. I love them. I love everything about Imperium, from Giovanni Vinci, who I think needs a little more development for the main roster. We've got, of course, Gunther, and then we've got what's his name? Why can't I'm so awful on names tonight, guys. Ludwig Kaiser. So I think that this is going to be another really good match. It's a six-man tag and a Donnybrook match. I believe that Imperium wins, and they should. That's why I'm picking them, because they should. So I'm really excited for this this matchup. Honestly, there's not a match on the card that I'm looking at going, and that's a bathroom break. There's really not. Liv Morgan Rousey doesn't particularly excite me. But outside of that, I mean, Karrion Kross, Drew, I'm there for it. This is a fun, exciting pay-per-view. Honestly, when I look at this, there's 6 matches. When you extrapolate that out, each match probably is going to get 15 to 20 minutes. That's lengthy. And some may go 10 and the other ones go 25 or whatever. I like how there's going to be lengthy matches here, enough time to tell a story. That's been Triple H's motto as well for the last 2 months or however long he's been actually in charge. So I think we're going to have also great match length, enough time to tell a story and not just, you know, plow through it to get to a finish. So, all right. So I think that pretty much sets it up. Now, again, as far as returns go, I think Bray Wyatt, I'd say 5% chance. Becky Lynch, I'd give like a 2% chance. I would say The Rock is like a less than 1% chance. Charlotte, I'd give like probably a 25% chance. I'd say Charlotte has the highest chance of returning out of everyone. Sasha Banks and or Naomi, I'd say like 5% chance. If you're wondering how I'm coming up with these calculations, it's called in my head. Anybody else? I'm trying to think of anyone else that could possibly return to WWE or make their debut, and I can't think of anyone that's even in the realm of possibility. So there you go. I think if you're going to put a gun to my head and say who's the most likely, Charlotte. I think Charlotte would be the most likely to return to the roster and maybe come face-to-face with Liv Morgan, you know, after she beats Rousey in a Hooker Kirk way. Or just Lady Luck, I think we're going to have Charlotte come in and just set it straight with Liv and lay out Liv Morgan. And maybe the crowd will cheer for that, or maybe they won't. It's going to be very interesting to hear what the Philadelphia crowd does tomorrow night, because the Philly crowd is notoriously tough. They're like, you know, MSG tough. They're like Chicago, all those big markets. I think it's going to be a very interesting reaction to Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey specifically. How do they react to both of them? Are they buying into the Rousey badass, you know, competitor again? Or are they behind the little underdog that continues to just win by Lady Luck? We'll see. But the crowd is going to be a fun part of the match tomorrow night matches. And it's Philly. I have a very soft spot for Philadelphia, given what they did to Roman Reigns in 2015. Okay. A very soft spot. Thank you all for that. I still thank you 7 years later. But all right, let's see here. I think, guys, they may do it for the preview and prediction show. As far as live shows go for like a post show, I don't think it's going to happen. We're probably, here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, I may pop on live on like TikTok or something during the match. It's hard for me at that time of night. I've got young kids and stuff for me to dedicate like 4 hours to like just sitting there uninterrupted. It's very difficult. So what I may do is pop on live. If you guys want to join us on Patreon, by the way, great time to do it. You can join us on the Discord server. All the other patrons will be there and you can talk during the show and interact live. But as far as an actual official review show, it's probably going to happen and drop Sunday morning. So that'll be good because you guys will be able to watch the event, get a good night's sleep, and when you wake up, it'll be there for you, hopefully. Yeah, I'm thinking it'll be out like mid to late morning on Sunday for our official review show. And I have a live correspondent that's going to be there to give us an in-person perspective. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I love being able to talk to people that go there live. You get a different taste of what's going on. You hear and see things that you don't see on camera. It's always a great time. So that will be coming to you Sunday morning, mid to late morning. It'll drop in your feed. So, all right. Well, I think I'm going to wrap things up, everybody. Thanks to, for the couple calls, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the live format. It's no safety net. I can't just pause and do what I want and get a drink and come back. I'm here live, and that makes it fun. And hearing you guys live and not just on voicemail is also a different level of interaction with you guys, and it's great. So, all right. Well, that does it for me, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Consider going on our VIP on our website or on Patreon if you want ad-free everything. Great time to do it. We got a lot of shows and, yes, a lot of ads, but you can get rid of all of them at Patreon or Apple Podcasts for just $1 a month. So, all right, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Take care, and I will talk to you guys next time.